I want to speak a message to you that's simply entitled this morning, Moving Forward. I don't know about you, but there's been seasons in my life where, you know, it just seems like I was, come on, two steps forward and help me here, three steps back. You ever been through those times when you feel like your faith is tested, you're squeezed, you know? Even this past week or 10 days, you know, we pray, God, move the storm, spare Florida. And you know, God says, wait a minute, pow, I'm hitting Florida. And listen, they're looking at it again. Storms coming up out there in the big oceans that are staring again in all different directions. Everybody's thinking, oh, God, is this coming again? I'm going to tell you something. Listen, in case you've forgotten it, God is in control. He is. He knows. And listen, every time God touches the land, you know what he's doing? He's touching his people. He's touching the people. And I just encourage you to trust God. God's knocking on the doors of America. He is. He's knocking on the doors of America. He's looking for a people who will rise up and be a remnant in his behalf to speak the oracles of God and to be the church. Come on, we're called to be the church. We're called to be the salt. We're called to be the light. And we're bracing ourselves for this. I'm asking you just for a few weeks. I'm not asking you for, hey, would you sign up for something that's going to last a year or 6 months? I've asked God for 50 people. You know, some of you don't come to Wednesday nights. Some of you do faithfully. And you know what? I know there are reasons sometimes where you can talk yourself out of participating in something. But I'm asking you, what if it really made the difference in somebody in your family being destined to heaven or hell? Would you come out for a Wednesday night for a few times if you knew that your family member maybe had a chance? Because you say, Pastor, how can you say that? I can say that because for the next several weeks, all the way up to the end of November, that's when it's going to take in your schedule, Wednesday nights from now through the end of November. I'm going to ask you just to join us for an hour on Wednesday night. I need 50 people. I've ordered in faith. I've ordered 50 books because I believe 50 people are going to show up. And you say, well, what are we going to do? We're going to talk about a faith that's contagious, a faith that doesn't mind telling your family about Jesus, a faith that doesn't mind saying to the person who's sitting in the cubicle next to you, have you considered eternity for yourself? A faith that doesn't mind opening up your mouth and sharing the love of Christ. That's all we're talking about. It's not rocket science. It's simple discipleship and simple evangelism. It's called relational evangelism. And so I'm asking you to join me on Wednesday night. We'll have the books available, and they will be passed out, and we'll begin. And we're going to begin promptly. Listen, don't say I'm coming and strolling here at 7:25 and expect to be on task. You're going to be behind. 7 o'clock, okay? We're going to get started. We're going to start on time, and we're going to walk through contagious Christianity, being a contagious Christian. Because you know what? I'm excited about what God's doing in my life. I really am. I'm not bored in the least bit. In fact, I'm a little frustrated because I'm saying, you know, God, we still got empty seats. What's the problem here? You know, I'm just crazy enough to believe that there's coming a day in this church. Somebody say this church. That there's coming a day in this church where people will have a problem finding a place to sit. I'm just crazy enough to believe that this church will bust 500 on Sunday morning wide open. I told my superintendent, he said, well, nobody in the East has ever done that. I said, well, I'm going to do it. I'm gonna raise up a church on fire for God. I'm going to raise up a church excited about sharing Jesus. Why? Because I want to move forward. I don't want to go backwards. I don't want to look at numbers decline. I don't want to talk about, if all you can talk about it is what God used to do, then you ain't got much future. Come on. If your memories are bigger than your dreams, you got an issue. We should be looking forward saying, God, what do you have for this house? What do you have? Listen, I'm 56 years old. I don't feel 56. Amen. I don't. I'm excited about what God is doing. I'm excited about what he's doing in this church. I'm excited about what he's doing in this region. I'm excited about what he's doing in young people. Thank God millennials are showing up and getting involved and running equipment and saying, hey, what can I do to serve? Thank God they hang out at the coffee shop and chat and eat a little sweetie after church. Listen, thank God for people. And I love old folks too. Amen. I really do. I'm not going to call no names, but I love y'all too. Praise the Lord.
But I want to move forward. I'm excited about God's presence. Amen. I'm excited about his breath in my lungs. I'm excited about laying hands on the sick and seeing them recover. I'm excited about testimonies to say, listen, I did have to drive to Duke 5 days a week, but thank God the cancer is gone. Why? Because he's a God who does not fail. Come on, somebody. I'm excited that we can take a little oil and put it on somebody's head and say, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And people will begin to walk. I'm excited about that. I want to see God do greater things. Amen. I want to see God people snatch people out of the jaws of the devil and say, no way. No way. You're going to heaven. You're not going to hell. I just want to see those things. This morning, I'd like to take a look at some of the words of Paul, because he talks about moving forward. I'd like to take a look at some of his words that he shared in a season. You know, it's so interesting to me that right now our kids upstairs, you know what they're studying this morning? Did you just hear Gary say to you that our kids will be talking about the what? The missionary journeys of the Apostle Paul. Do you know what you're talking about this morning right here? They didn't know it. I didn't know it. Did you hear Ivan talking about where Paul and his battalion of men shared the gospel? He was talking about the nation of Africa, and he's talking about other places. This is where men dared to share the gospel and take the gospel there. Because you see, the Holy Spirit is intertwining the message today. Listen, it's time we move forward. It's time we move forward and stop worrying about church semantics and church politics and carpet colors and all these other things. It's time we move forward and share the glorious message of Jesus Christ, that he's the one can save you from your sins. Come on, somebody. And really, you should be doing the work. I'm not the one that's supposed to be doing the work. I'm supposed to inspire you and put a little gas on your fire so that you can't wait to get up on Monday morning and tell somebody about Jesus Christ and what he's doing. Can you go to work tomorrow and say, hey, let me tell you something. What'd you do the weekend? They start to tell you, say, man, I heard a guy stand up and tell the church yesterday that he had cancer, but now the cancer is gone. Can you believe a God like that? Why can't you talk about what God is doing? Tell people about what God is doing. No man gets the credit for this. God gets the credit. Amen. He's the one who heals. He's the one who heals. Well, simmer down, preacher. Let's talk about the Bible here for a second. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 5 to 9. I love this simple little few verses of scripture, where Paul is speaking to the church at Corinth, a very corrupt people, a people who allowed the world to influence their church. You say, how so? Well, people in this church were even having relations with their family members. Man, that's nasty. That's not godly. And this man, you know, in this church, people got kicked out of the church because of crazy sexual sins. Now, by the time he writes 2 Corinthians, they received the brother back in the church, because evidently he got it right. Amen. Amen. How many of you know God forgives? Come on. Amen. God forgives. But in this passage of scripture, let me read it to you hearing. After I go through Macedonia, he's talking about one of his missionary encounters here. He's an apostolic missionary evangelist, Dr. Paul here. Come on, somebody say amen. Amen. After I go through Macedonia, I will come to you. He's talking to this church in Corinth, this little tiny place called Corinth. I can see it in my mind's eyes. I've studied this thing for years. I can see this little tiny strip of land just sitting between two huge bodies of water. He says, after I go through Macedonia, I'm coming to you, Corinth. For I will be going through Macedonia, and perhaps I will stay with you a while. You ever had anybody tell you, hey, I'm coming to your house and I'm staying the winter? Come on, somebody. Get your logs out. Get your marshmallows out. Get your chocolate out. Get your graham crackers. We're going to have some snacks on your fire. I'm coming to your house for winter so that you can help me on my journey. Why did Paul say that? Paul's saying, listen, I'm coming to stay with y'all so y'all can give more money to keep me going and doing what I'm called to do. Somebody say, preachers don't like to talk about money. No, they don't. But here Paul says, listen, I'm coming to hang out with y'all. I'm going to stay the winter because God is going to use you to help me preach this gospel. Aren't you glad he did? Amen. Then he goes on to say, listen, I don't want to see you now and just make a passing visit. In other words, he said, listen, if I was to come now, I'd have to keep going. He knew in the spirit. Somebody said, listen, walk in the spirit. Paul knew beyond the shadow of any doubt what he was talking about in his directives of the Holy Spirit and how God was leading him. He said, I don't want to make a passing visit. I hope to spend some time with you. And then he says, if the Lord permits. But I will stay on at Ephesus until Pentecost, because a great door for effective work has opened to me. Listen, Paul was always willing to hang out where the Spirit of God was hanging out. Finding the wave of what God was blessing and then aligning himself with it. You see, too many times in the church world, too many times we're always coming up with our own little program and pleading and begging God to please bless our efforts. We'd be a lot better off to find out what the Holy Spirit is riding on and say, God, would you give me a willingness to do what you're already blessing and let me do it? He says, listen, a great door for effective work has opened to me. And I don't like this part, and I know you don't like it either, but it's just the truth. There are folk who oppose me. There are people who oppose me. I love the King James rendition of this. If you've read it before, it says, listen, there are adversaries. Adversaries. Adversaries in the New Testament are described as what? Lions. Folk that want to rip your meat, okay? They want to pull your flesh. Folk that want to kill you. He says, there are adversaries, people who oppose me. I want to look at some characteristics that stand out in Paul's life approach. In moving forward, somebody say forward. In that which God has called him to do. You say, well, you know, what's this message got to do with me this morning? It's got a whole lot to do with you. God spoke it to me very clearly on Thursday or Friday of this week. Listen, Wallace, I want you to tell him how to move forward this morning. I said, Lord, how do we move forward? He said, I'm going to show you in the Bible, I'm going to show you in my word that a man who was in fact in tune with the Spirit of the living God, a man by the name of Paul the apostle, he constantly moved forward, even though you could look at things on the exterior and say, man, this guy's going to be destroyed. He said, I've been knocked down, but I haven't been knocked out. You see, he were times that this man could despair for even his life. He was beaten 40 lashes save one, or 39. Why? Because they believed in that culture that if you hit a man with the cat of nine tails 40 times, it would kill him. So they just hit him 39 times. Ripping his flesh out, leaving him for dead. He'd been shipwrecked. He'd been left out in the ocean floating on a piece of wood. He'd been to all distances. Amen. To preach the gospel of Jesus. Amen. And the biggest kind of suffering you have is when somebody steals your deviled egg plate at a family fellowship at the church. She got my plate! Or somebody took your crock pot. Bless your heart. Go to Walmart and get you another one. Stop complaining about somebody taking your crock pot. See, we don't know what persecution is. We really don't. But here's a man who knew what it was like to be persecuted for the gospel's sake. And so we want to look at him this morning because, you see, Paul was at a point in time in his life. It's in the book of Acts chapter 13. I love this reference here. In Acts chapter 13, they were at a church where they first called them Christians. Where was that? Antioch. They were at the Antioch Baptist Church. Come on. And they were there, and the Bible simply says that these people came together and they were praying and they were fasting. They were not having fellowship. They didn't have cheesecake and brownies and cookies and all that. They were fasting. And the Bible says clearly that in Acts chapter 13, they said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, thus saith the Lord, for the work to which I've called them. And the Bible says they laid their hands on them and sent them off. And if you study any bit at all, you will discover that one of the first things they met as they stepped out of Antioch church and start down the road to ministry was a sorcerer. Amen. Have you read the story? In other words, the devil puts him to the test right out of the gate. I'm going to tell you something. If you're going to do any kind of good for the kingdom of God, the devil's going to show up and try to have a party on your affair. But you got to stand strong in the Lord and what? In the power of his might. Why? Knowing that you have authority over him. We prayed about that rascal before this service today. We bind the hand of the devil and any assignment he would have on this service. We pray, God, in the name of Jesus, that you would loose the spirit of excellence and power in this place, and that the devil would be nowhere around to rob people of what God wanted them to hear today. Come on now. And I believe this morning that God's going to speak to your heart, because I believe I'm talking to some people that not only in the kingdom sense, but in the practical sense, you're ready to move forward with what God has for you. You're ready to get a skip in your step and march forward to what God has for you. You're tired of being knocked down, tired of being knocked out, tired of being defeated and abused. You want to move forward. Listen, God wants you to move forward in the kingdom. He does. Your soul will prosper, and then after your soul prospers, guess what? Everything else about you will prosper. In case you haven't figured it out yet, Matthew 6:33, Jesus said what? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And if you get that right first, then the rest of it will line up. Amen? Am I preaching to anybody this morning? Come on. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Then all these things will be added unto you as well. So Paul has responded to this tremendous call to be a missionary evangelist, leaving from Antioch Church. They laid their hands on them. And as they go about in their missionary journeys, we come to this passage of Scripture. And we lift from the pages several things that I've noted here that are characteristic of these powerful men of God, and one of them is focus. Paul is focused. He's not, well, you know, maybe, or I'm not real sure. I'm praying about it. Some things you don't have to pray about. Sharing the gospel, you don't have to pray about that. Going to church, you don't have to pray about that. Giving your tithes, you don't have to pray about it. Well, I'm praying about it. God's already answered those prayers. Because he states these things in his word. This is a man of focus. Sometimes there are some things where you must have focus on in your life. He says, after I go through Macedonia, listen to confidence this man speaks. He says, I will come to you, for I will be going through Macedonia. He already knows the directive of the Spirit. They laid hands on them. They sent them off. And they're following in step with the Holy Spirit, who has revealed to them the directions they should go. He says, listen, I'm going to Macedonia. I'm going to come to you, for I will be going through there. Paul responds with focus, and he moves with concise direction of the Holy Spirit. You know, my question for you this morning is, do you hear the Holy Spirit in your life speak to you? Do you hear the Holy Spirit directing you? Do you hear the Holy Spirit leading you, guiding you, positioning you, talking to you about the things that you should and shouldn't do in your life, the places that you should be, where you should go, who you should do business with, where you should buy it or not, should you sell it, and what should you do with the money? I'm just telling you, God wants you to live a life of what? Focus. And if you're going to share the gospel, if you're going to be a contagious Christian, one of the characteristics that people want to know about you is that you're right predictable, because you're a person who's focused. You're not on some flim-flam mission. You're not a person who doesn't really know where they're going. There's a confidence in you. I preach to preachers all the time. And just this past week, a week or so ago, I preached to a group and I said, listen, the three things you must have in your life, you've got to have confidence. You've got to have confidence. And you got to have character. If you don't have those things in the ministry, you're in a mess. Because if your character goes south, you're in trouble. Your message is no good. Paul talked about it. He said you disqualify yourself. And you got to have those things, and you got to have focus in your life. Paul teaches us that sometimes we move forward in our lives and we come through those transitional periods when we can be tempted to go one way or another, but it's important to hear the Lord say to us, this is the way, walk ye in it. You want clarity. You want clarity in God's voice to know that you're going the right way. So you got to be focused in what you're doing for the kingdom. Secondly, you got to be flexible. You got to be flexible. Pardon me while I take a drink of water.
That'll wake some of you up, I guess.
Perhaps, he said, verse 6, perhaps I will stay with you a while. And then there's a comma. Or even spend the winter so that you can help me on my journey. Paul understood something, beloved. Paul understood that the Bible says also in Corinthians that he who preaches the gospel, help me here, should also what? Live of the gospel. If a man preaches the gospel, then he should earn his... Well, people say, well, he's all about the money. Sure he is. He's got to pay his bills. He's got to take care of his family. He who preaches the gospel, let him also do what? Live of the gospel. Amen? It becomes a challenge today because in our modern day world in the kingdom, we have 57% of all preachers out there earning their living on a secular job so they can do the work of the ministry. God didn't design it that way. God said, he who preaches the gospel, let the gospel take care of him. Amen. Amen. Let the gospel take care of him. Let the church take care of him. Thank you guys for taking care of us. Thank you for blessing us. Thank you for just sowing into our lives in honor in the past few weeks. 25 years, Pastor. Congratulations. Thank you for doing that. You know why? Because you're doing it the Bible way. You should take care of your pastor. Amen. If you're here and you go to another church, listen, take that message back to your church. You should take care of your pastor. Paul understood that. He who preaches the gospel, let him also live the gospel. So he's going on this missionary journey in faith. Hands are laid on him, release them, sending out in the fire of a Pentecostal prayer. And he tells the Corinthians, listen, I'm going to come and hang out with you. Because I know you guys have got some benevolent people in your church. And I'm going to stay there until y'all can decide how much money you're going to give me. Amen. Paul just puts it out there. Amen. He just puts it out there. He begins this verse with an invocation of what? Flexibility. He says what? Perhaps. Perhaps means maybe. Perhaps means there's a possibility. He says, perhaps I'll stay with you a while. Perhaps I might stay the whole winter. Perhaps I might do this. Why? Because he's going to be what? As Ivan said beautifully this morning, he's going to be what? Led by the Spirit. It calls for focus in your life, but it also calls for flexibility. I love that verse in the book of Second Opinions. It says, blessed are the flexible, for when they are bent, they shall not be broken. That's in the book of Second Opinions. You read that before? It's right next to Second Hesitations in the Bible. That's two books over from the book of Hezekiah. Amen. Come on, y'all awake? I can't tell you the number of times in my life, in 35 years of ministry, that God has called Pastor Joy and I to a tremendous level of flexibility. I've had plans change. I've had vacations crashed. I've had dreams crushed. I've had moments that were totally ruined. Why? Because God called us to a life of flexibility. I remember in the early years, I remember just as soon as we got down to Nag's Head for a much-needed vacation, we had to come back home. Vacation's over. Why? Because there were pressing needs in the church, and at that time, I did not have the people surrounding me, working for me, serving with me. I didn't have those things, so guess what? I had to come back and do it myself. Thank God for people. Thank God for these people who bring Carpenter Shop to the place of excellence and effectiveness that it is. There's such a team of people this morning working behind the scenes, doing things. There's nursery workers, security people, sound and lighting people, musicians, singers, all kinds of folk who make the ministry effective. Thank God for what you do. But in these days, my life was messed up. Why? Because I was basically a one-man show. And it was very challenging. And I've had my vacation dreams crashed. I've lost my place. I've lost the money. I couldn't get a refund. I've had those things happen because I needed to be on site for the ministry. Paul here says, I'm going to be flexible. I'm going to be focused. I know I'm going this way. But then he underscores that with those next few words and says, I think I better be careful and figure flexibility into this plan. You know, do you know that type of person that if things don't go just as you plan, they get their drawers in a knot? Amen. Amen. Yes. Do you know folk like that? That they said it's going to start at 3, and you roll up in there at 3:01, and they're crying. You know folk like that? There's just no flexibility in their lives. Now, none. And those folk get often disappointed because they are control people. Am I speaking to anybody's family members? Come on, somebody. Just want to be in control. And sometimes there are some things in life, guess what, honey, that you cannot control. Amen? Things will go different. Things will not go as planned. They will just happen in a totally different perspective than what you had considered. And that's why God calls you to a life of what? Flexibility. Focus, but flexibility. If I was you, I'd be taking notes. This will preach anywhere. Then he says, listen, I want you to also be aware that you need to have fellowship in your life. Look at verse number 7. I love this passage. I do not want to see you now. Make a passing visit. I hope to spend some time with you. Notice then, he builds flexibility into this verse too. If the Lord permits. You see the attitude wherewith Paul approaches ministry? He said, I hope to spend some time with you. What's he longing for? Koinonia. Fellowship. In the Greek language, it's koinonia. Fellowship. He said, I hope to have some fellowship with you. I hope to have some camaraderie here. I hope to hang out with you for a little while. I had the blessing yesterday of hanging out with some of our team members that make it ministry so effective here. We hung out in Greenville. We went to the Worship Academy, Richard and his team, and sound and lighting people, and singers and musicians, and just hung out together and let somebody else teach us. There were things we heard that we already knew. There were things we heard that we did not know. But there was also time of sitting around the table and sitting there and eating some of the best things Jesus ever made. Pig. Look at your neighbor and say, oink, oink. My wife says, well, I know where you're going. Amen. I feel the anointing over barbecue. Come on, somebody. And we went to Good Sam's. But for me, I just take Parker's any day. Come on. Amen. But why? Why was it so good yesterday? Really, the sessions were good. Looking at their technology was good. Listening to somebody who preaches to 3,000 every week instead of a couple of hundred. That was good. But you know what was the best? The best was connection with my team. The best was connection with the team that we serve with. Because we got to hang out. We got to eat together. We got to laugh a little bit. And this is what Paul says. Listen, I don't want to just pass through there and pick up the check. I don't want to just take your offering from the Corinthian church. I want to eat with you. Take me to Parker's, he said. He says, I want fellowship with you. I am what I am today as a minister of the gospel. You know why? Not because I've achieved so much myself. I am what I am today because people have believed in me. People have sown into my life prayerfully and financially. People have said, Pastor, I love you. I believe in you. I thank God for what you do. People have encouraged me. They've fanned the flames of encouragement. I get cards in the mail, text messages, things that keep me constantly doing what? Moving forward. You don't need anybody to drag you down. You got your quota of them. You need people who are going to help you move forward. Listen, if you're hanging around with folks who drag you down, get you a new set of friends, honey. You don't need to hang around with people who drag you down. Hang around with people who build you up. Hang around people that are for you. Amen. Not against you. If they call you and say, what's wrong with you? You don't seem like you want to connect with me. Tell them my pastor told me to cut you off. I don't care. My pastor told me not to hang around folk like you. Give them my cell phone number, 287-7572. We'll give them a lesson on encouragement instead of discouragement. You need people to build you up, not tear you down. Purpose in your heart today that you'll find some friends and connections that will lend fellowship to you. Because you're already talking about focus and you're already talking about flexibility. What you need is fellowship. Amen. Fourthly, you need favor. I hope y'all enjoying this. I sure am. Favor. Look at verse 8 and the first part of verse number 9. But I will stay on at Ephesus until Pentecost. And then there's a parenthetical statement here. There's a comma. He says, listen, the reason I'm doing this is because there is a great door for effective work that has opened up to me. So Paul is discovered that there's favor on his life. Amen? Paul recognized that the Spirit of God was at work and he was familiar with the divine. He was walking with favor on his life. Listen, let me tell you, every time you move forward to a new place, you need to get the eye of an eagle. An eagle, whether you know it or not, can spot a fish in the water 2 miles off and decide he's going to have that one for lunch. When you start moving in your life, you need to get the eye of an eagle and watch for those moments of divine intervention where God has set you up with favor. Why? Because the Bible says favor surrounds you like a shield. God's not left you out there alone, honey. Get a little eye of an eagle and look ahead. There are places that God has set you up before, and he wants to walk you into the favor and the blessing of God all over again. I wish I could get a few people to get excited about what God is doing in your life or in your business. Or in your family. I wish I could get some folk to get excited about God taking you forward, forward, forward. Move forward. Be focused, be flexible, have fellowship, but don't dismiss the favor of God. Scott, you're healed today because God said, I'm going to release the favor of God to take that cancer and rip it out of your body. That's divine favor. Come on, somebody. You say, well, what about my loved one? Listen, I'm not God. I'm just telling you the good news. I'm not God. I don't make the decisions. But I can tell you this, those who pray and pray and pray and pray, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Just keep on praying. Just keep on praying. Sometimes the favor of God will so amaze you. God has opened doors for me that I could never have opened my own. Doors for ministry, doors for education, doors for owning a home, doors for overseeing churches, doors for establishing a Barnabas ministry, doors for property that was just right out deeded to me, 6 acres of land. I like what you do, preacher. If I gave you 6 acres of property on the Chowan River, would you receive it? I said, yes, I'll give you the deed. We'll pay for the lawyer fees and all the deed work. We'll pay for it. We want you to have it. Sometimes God says, listen, I've got favor for you. Some of you are sitting here this morning. You've received the manifold favor of God. You've been blessed with much, and God has blessed you tremendously. It's not about you and not about how good you are or your great accomplishments. You know what it is? It's God's unmerited favor on your life. Come on, somebody. Favor surrounds you like a shield. I'm about to preach myself happy up in this house today. Thank you, Jesus. He loves to give favor to his children. I'm telling you, you must look for forward movement. Why? Because God has favor on your life. Stop cursing your situation. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. Stop talking negative about where you live and the property that you live on and the county that you're from. Stop talking negative. Start speaking favor over this region, favor over this city, favor over this church, favor over Northeastern North Carolina. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The last point, I'm ready as you are to eat. Frustration. I know you don't want to hear this part, but I must give you the whole counsel of God. Frustration. I sense in the spirit, some of y'all need to have written these things down because you're going to face some moments in these coming weeks and months where you're going to need this word. It's going to come back to you supernaturally. And you're going to remember what the Holy Spirit said to you today. Frustration, verse 9, second part of it, I call it 9b. And there are many who oppose me. There are many who oppose me.
King James says what? There are adversaries. That's an S. There's a lot of devils out there. There's a lot of demons out there. You know what I've discovered in the last few years of my life? I've discovered that the closer I get to fulfilling the divine destiny that God has assigned to me before my birth, the closer I get to that, the more devils I have met. The closer that I get to that, the more demonic spirits I've had encounters with. Why? Because the enemy wants to discourage me. The enemy wants to cut me off. The enemy wants to silence my mouth. The enemy wants to kill my vision. But I'm going to tell you something. I believe that God's hand is upon me and that he's always going to be with me. The Bible says he will never leave you nor forsake you. And some of you need to be encouraged today. Listen, it ain't over, honey. God's got you. God's got you. He's going to take you forward. I can tell you when you reach those new places in your life, places of God's provision and blessing and favor, flexibility and focus, you're going to discover that God's going to allow some demonic things to present themselves to you. You say, well, why does God do that? I don't know. Read Job and ask the question again. Read Job. Why did the righteous suffer? Why they had to put up with demonic things? I don't know. All I know is the Bible says a trial of your faith worketh patience. Amen. You'll always find a devil ready to strike. Look at him now, the devil said. Look at him now. He's all focused. He's flexible. Can't you just see the devil waving this? Look at you. You're so focused. You're flexible. You got a lot of friends you fellowship in. Look at you. You think you got it all together, man. You walking in the favor of God. Then all of a sudden, he shoots you with a fiery dart. Discouragement. Discouragement. See, some of y'all are not a candidate to go down First and Maple and buy you a $10 crack rock. That ain't you. You don't have a problem with drugs. Some of y'all are not going to pull out a fifth of Jack and take all your worries away. But I tell you what you are a candidate for. Distraction and discouragement. He will reach down in his arsenal and he will try to discourage you. He will come against you. Paul says, I do have divine opportunities, but there are adversaries, there are enemies. Can I warn you today, you're going to find them in every place. You can find them right in the church. You can find them speaking in tongues. They'll be your enemy. I'm just being honest with you. You can find them with R-E-V in front of the name. They might discourage you. They might be shrouded in all kinds of religious and spiritual things and be against you. I'm just preaching plain vanilla. Come on, somebody. It's just the truth. But God will give you discernment. I wrote this down. God will give you discernment, divine authority to demolish strongholds. He says he's going to do that, and he's going to do it. He'll give you divine power to demolish strongholds and every high thing that it acknowledge itself against the knowledge of God, that lifts itself up against the knowledge of God. He'll do it. And you know, you're going to go through a little struggle once in a while, but I love what Paul said as Richard comes to the keys. I love what Paul says. He says, man, I reckon the sufferings of this present world are not worthy to be compared to the brother preached on this so powerfully last Sunday, to the glory that shall be revealed and released in us. Did the man preach on releasing the glory or what? He said, I reckon the struggles, the sufferings, the hardships, the difficulties of this present world are not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. You see, God wants you to release his glory on the earth. He wants you to be salt. He wants you to be light. He wants you to be a contagious Christian. He wants you to come Wednesday night and say, Pastor, I'm here. I'm one of the 50. I want to get on board. I've got loved ones in my family that are going to hell. I want the courage to tell them Jesus loves them. All I'm asking you to do is spend from now to the end of November taking an inventory of where you are in your witness. That's all. And God is speaking to you this morning and reminding you as a church that he has called you to be focused. He has called you to be flexible. He has called you to fellowship. He has given you moments of divine favor on your life. And he would like to leave it frustration free, but he won't, because he loves you. And he wants you to be a greater example of Christ on earth than you were last year and the year before. I love what Peter says. Well, I really don't love it, but it's just the truth. Christ suffered, leaving us an example that we should follow in his steps. I love what Hebrews says. You've not suffered to the point of shedding your own blood. You haven't. God wants you to move forward. 1 Corinthians 16:5-9, our passage one more time. This apostolic missionary evangelist, Paul. After I go through Macedonia, I'll come to you, for I'll be going through Macedonia. Perhaps I'll stay with you a while, maybe spend the winter, so you can help me on my journey wherever I go. I don't want to see you now and just make a brief passing visit. I hope to spend some time with you if God permits. And in the meantime, I'm going to stay right here at Ephesus, because a great door, we get our modern day word mega from that right there. A mega door, a huge door for effective work has opened to me. And there are adversaries. You give life. You are love. Come on. You bring light to the darkness. You give hope. You restore. Every heart that is broken. Why? 'Cause great are you, Lord. I want you to stand. I want you to slip out of your seat. Ministers, come. I need preachers, ministers, prayer people, come. Line this front here. I want you to take these oils on the side and anoint people. Come on. If you got time this morning, you're not in a hurry, what we're going to do is anoint you and pray for you. What are you praying for me, Pastor? Praying that you will, at any cost, move forward. Forward. Come on, stretch out across this altar here. Corey, Corey, Corey. Man, the Spirit of God is just hitting me with a word for you, Corey. The Lord says unto you, Corey, I have ordered your steps. I have seen you, the Lord says, even from before birth, like the prophet Jeremiah. The Lord says, I've seen you, Corey. The Lord says, I watched you all through the years. Mine eye have never left you. My eyes are upon you, says the Lord. I am watching over you. I see you when you feel like you're not even seen, declares the Lord. I understand you when you feel like you're not even understood, says the Lord. I know you, says the Lord, better than you even know yourself. And I have a plan carved out for you, says the Lord, carved out for my glory. The Lord says, get the eye of the eagle your pastor was talking about and look ahead. The Lord says, look ahead, Corey, because I have positioned you to be a recipient of my divine direction. Listen clearly to my voice. Do not listen to those who criticize you. Do not listen to those who would confuse you. But the Lord says, listen to me, Corey, for I alone know your future. I alone want to bless you. I alone want to use you. Hearken unto me. I will teach you, says the Lord, all things. This is the Lord's word to you, Corey. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, just lift your hands all over this altar area this morning. Come on, just close your eyes. Get in your closet. Close your eyes.
Pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out.
these people. Anoint these people. Pray for them. Anoint them. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on in here, young people. Come on. Come on, Pastor Joy. Pastor Joy, come on, Brittany. Help us out here. Come on, Richard can sing it. Come on, guys. Move on in here. Move on in here. Pastor Joy. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, you help us pray for these over here.
Praise God.
Come on, guys. Hallelujah. Great are you, Lord. Great are you, Lord. Great are you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Our hearts will cry. These bones will sing. Your praise, our hearts will cry, these bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise, pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we give life.